don't sweat the technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. 713-780-ESPN. Would Dusty have this team playing better ball? And how short is the leash for Joe Espada? 1509, maybe it really is Dusty. The team was very comfortable with Dusty, like he was their papa, who would in fact have their backs no matter what happened in the media. The trash can hate from the Yankees to fans complaining about banana pudding or contributing to a start a sub-100 hitting catcher. Okay, that's a lot of stuff there. I don't really know what he said. I do think that Dusty's best strength was his stuff in the clubhouse. Like, on the field, you get lack of production, you're not going to win a whole lot of games. But can you keep up morale? Are you getting, you know, are you handling the psychology part of the game well in the clubhouse? Where that stuff matters a lot. Where Dusty was elite. Like, I think we overrate game management in baseball, which is really not that hard to do. And there was a few things that we didn't like that Dusty did, and we were very, very critical of that. But the thing that we couldn't see that's the most important part of managing, being in the clubhouse, getting the most out of your players, keeping the morale, that's where he excelled in. And I don't know. I'm not in the clubhouse, and I haven't heard enough from the clubhouse about how Joe Espada is in there.
No, and you know, we talk about culture mattering. We talk about every, you know, sports team and how they're trying to build the right culture and all the things the Texans have had to deal with culture, and the Rockets too, to some degree, with Silas. You look at this and you say, hey, look, Dusty was quirky. I used to always say, talk about Pawpaw's belly. He had gut feelings and he did things. But the one thing that he did was he knew the hierarchy within the locker room before he even got into it. And when you hear the Verlanders and the Altuves and all the veterans that have been in that clubhouse, they can't stop singing his praises. And if you have them on your side, it's a whole lot easier to manage the entire locker room and to have everybody's morale where it needs to be. Yeah, Yiner was pissed off he wasn't playing more last year, and we went through that. Yeah, Chaz had his episodes too with him, his brother, the media, all those things. But we're not talking about the most important players on your roster. And those guys seem to always be satisfied with Dusty Baker. And to Joe Espada's point, not that he can't get there, but there's a difference from being the guy that gives them the extra infield, that is on the bench, that, you know, is always there for them, to suddenly being, you know, the captain of the ship and trying to kind of get everybody to feel like, hey, he's in control of everything in here too.
713-780-3776. Mike P. Dusty gets the players to play right. This on the ESPN Houston YouTube. Coaching matters.
Coaching matters less in baseball, I think, than any of the other big threes. I think that coaching matters in the NBA. Coaching matters in football, even on a play-by-play basis. I think in baseball, what's reasonable to say a good manager is responsible for 5 wins a year? Or is that too much?
See, again, I think this stuff is hidden in baseball. Like, we don't see it as much. Like, managing a baseball game, I think, is relatively simple. Mm-hmm. There's things that you like, and we always talk about batting. Well, Dusty's hitting, you know, Pena here. He's hitting Yordan here. Espada's hitting Yordan here, Yordan there. I think batting order is extremely overrated. I think what really matters for a baseball manager is clubhouse stuff. So, what is a good manager getting you? Like, well, if he's keeping the morale high and he's like keeping the culture, he's keeping the, you know, the chemistry intact, it could be a big difference. It could be the difference between a winning team and a losing team. But from like a strategy, David Kelly. From a strategic point of view, first pitch to last pitch, I don't think that the best manager versus the worst manager is greater than like 5 games.
Yeah, so then it's more about your communication and psychological skills than it is from day to day a lot of times in your managerial skills. Know the rules.
It's more psychologist, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
In the clubhouse, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. So it's more psychology and communication, like whether you got a guy scuffling or there's issues with certain players and how you handle that. More so than it is know the rules and know when to, you know, the switches and the things that happen late inning in games that you're going to be dealing with, and then let the players go out and play the game. So could Dusty have made a difference? I really don't think so at this point in the season. Now, if this continues to be bad, then there's probably going to be more and more in where, to your point, you're going to start delving into not just what's happening between the lines and on the lineup card, what's going on behind the scenes, after games, before games, and in travel to figure out that there's some disconnection.
Yeah, and that's the stuff we don't know about yet. Like, mm-hmm. And we just, it's hard to know because we're not in there, and the players aren't going to be talking about it 20-something games in. Hockley, Dan, would people act the same towards A.J. Hinch if he was the one to inherit the club from Dusty? I don't think so, because A.J. Hinch has back a baseball card.
He does.
He has the history. He has the history of being a winning manager. Joe Espada doesn't. This is Joe Espada's first year in his entire life as a manager of baseball club, so he hasn't built up like us giving him the leeway because we don't know how he's going to be as a manager. Hinch at least has a reputation and has a background.
And it's also low-hanging fruit. At this point, when a team gets off to this bad of a start, people are just looking to lash out. And they're looking to point a finger and get the crosshairs. And the easiest thing you can do is say, hey, what's different from last year to this year? Well, you've got a Hall of Fame manager that left, and you've got a first-time manager that's taken over. Must be all his fault.
I believe that Dusty would have this team with more confidence when things are looking bleak. Yes, he had his negatives with his lineups, but there were still lots of injuries last year, and he made it through. Not saying Espada should be fired. I just believe Dusty's experience in baseball gave this team a certain edge that they are missing this year. I don't know if they're like. I'm not going to go as far to say that they're missing the experience. I'm not even going to go as far to say that morale in the clubhouse is bad. Mm-hmm. I just know that this team could use good morale in the clubhouse. And that Dusty, that was his strength, was keeping good morale in the clubhouse. But maybe they do have good morale in the clubhouse, and we just don't know it.
Yeah, we don't know.
Because whenever you lose, the easy thing, well, chemistry's bad. Oh, leadership's poor. Oh, the manager's keeping bad morale in the clubhouse. How do you know that? How do you know that? You're saying that because you're losing games. There's times when teams lose games, and the morale's great, and the chemistry's great. Mm-hmm. They just don't have the talent. So, like,
that's where it goes back to. When you have a laundry list of injuries and you've got guys that are underperforming, you don't think Dusty Baker would have made the same moves in terms of calling on the back of the bullpen guys and probably would have used Hader maybe more because he was always in dire need and loved his lefty. And we are always talking about him having a loogie because he desperately wanted a lefty. If you gave him a toy like Josh Hader, you don't think he's going to use Josh Hader? Do you think he's suddenly going to be what you wanted him to be, listeners, and saying, oh, we only want to use him in safe situations? I don't think so.
I mean, Dusty did have Daly Raley once upon a time.
Who's hurt?
Is he hurt? Yeah. I could not have told you that. 50-30 just started listening, but yeah, it's totally Espada's fault. No one is clutch /S, which means sarcasm, which I agree with. I think it's more about execution, injuries than the dugout. It's not to say Espada is like the best manager in baseball because there's things that he's done that I'm not a huge fan of either. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys, love the show. The manager absolutely makes a huge difference. This roster is super talented, but just going to last season, Bruce Bochy, first year with the Rangers, they win the World Series. The previous 10 years with Jeff Bannister and Chris Woodward, the Rangers were awful. They were in the basement of the division. The manager makes a huge difference because Bochy, literally year one, wins the World Series.
Were all those rosters the same there, Keith?
Yeah, I was going to say, suddenly you got Simeon and Seager and all these guys.
Yeah, their roster's now one of the best offenses in baseball. 5 years ago, they had a 4-8 club, and it's all the manager. Now, look, managing, I mean, it matters. No one's saying it doesn't matter, but let's not pretend that Bruce Bochy didn't have a really good roster, and then you look 7 years ago inside the Rangers organization, and they were poor. And the Bannister thing, Bannister won an American League Manager of the Year once upon a time. Bannister led them to the playoffs. So, like, saying that Bannister never won there is inaccurate.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say that just quickly off the cuff looking back. But when you really delve into it and the things that we brought up and the fact that as it relates to the Astros situation, I don't think that any manager, no matter what their back of their baseball card looks like, is going to come into this situation.
On the back of his baseball card.
And say, you're going to start the season without your top three starters. You're also going to have other starters that you don't know when you're going to get them back. And you're going to have all these guys in the lineup, including your starting first baseman, suck or be below what they did a year ago. And that they would do better than Joe Espada.
And why did the Rangers win the World Series last year? Was it Bruce Bochy or was it Adolis Garcia going nuts? Was it Marcus Simeon? Was it Corey Seager? Was it,
Carter, the guys they
brought up. Jordan Montgomery having a really good postseason. No one's saying that managing doesn't matter, but was managing the trump card of a team that was a wild card and a World Series champion? No. Like, it's good to be optimal all around. It's great to have the great roster and the great manager. And I think Bochy's great. I think Bochy's fantastic. But Bruce Bochy didn't. single-handedly guide that organization to a World Series title.
Their general manager was all in. And once they put Bochy in place, that's when he started to make the moves that led them to go out and get Jordan Montgomery, to get Max Scherzer, to get the guys whenever they needed someone or someone got hurt or they had a spot to fill. They had a plentiful minor league system. They went out and they were in full go-for-it mode, and it worked out.
Woodward's best players in the final 3-4 years he had the job, Joey Gallo, highest war guy in 2021. Lance Lynn was his highest war guy in the COVID year in 2020. And then the previous 2 years were Mike Minor. Oof. So, if Bruce Bochy was coaching those teams, if Bruce Bochy was managing those 19-21 Texas Rangers, something tells me they'd still probably lose 90-95 games. Yeah, go Cougs.
And Woodard was not?
I don't believe so. Okay. Yeah, not that I would know that too. So yeah, he wasn't a U of H guy. 6927. I think these players are just tired. They've been putting up instead of shutting up for 7 years now. It was bound to end at some point. The reason that they're 9 games below 500 isn't because they're tired and battered and bruised from the previous 7 years. I don't believe that. Fundamentally, I do not believe
that. I don't either. I mean, we look at that. Look, that means that Altuve, a guy that's been here through every bit of the 7 years, should be worn out. Instead, he's one of the best hitters in the American League. I mean, you've got guys that are still doing it, and there's not that many left from the entire 7-year run. But if you're going to take these signature player from the 7-year run and tell me if he ain't tired and he ain't dragging and he ain't, you know, just blowing it off or not playing like that, then that's something. Altuve's playing his ass off.
Not only that, but they actually had one of their longest off seasons in a few years because they weren't in the World Series. So they actually got and there wasn't a WBC. So they actually had one of their longest off seasons.
So what do you think is the leash for Espada?
I just can't see a scenario where he gets fired this year.
Even if they miss the playoffs?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. This year,
yeah, like
okay?
Season.
I think at the end of the season, you start getting all these players back that you're expecting back. You get the top three in your rotation, and then eventually Garcia, McCullers, Urquidy, all those guys. And then and you still can't find a way to get to the playoffs and or get where you wanted to go. Then I could see him going. But I don't think it's fair to him with what we've talked about that he's had to deal with that you can fire him before then. It's possible with an owner because any owner can just have a bad day or not like the communication and get rid of anybody.
It depends on what Reggie and Jeff tell him.
It would have to. It would probably also be like they're clashing.
That and or what you said. There might be some stuff behind the scenes we don't know about that's starting to come to a head and players are starting to get ticked off too.
We don't know this to be the case.
No. I'm saying, but it would have to take something where you have to take immediate action because players are very upset or like there's a disconnect between the GM and or the ownership. Other than that, I just can't see him getting fired this season.
I can't either. 0891, Joe gotta go. 4683, the issues with the Astros this season stem from the GM's office, not the managerial's office.
Well, what if the GM's not making any decisions?
Well, I think that's what he means. He's talking more front office as opposed to Dana Brown. I agree with that. I think that it is more front office than the dugout. You go back to like off-season wish lists. 2-3 arms, left-handed bat. They didn't do any of that. They got one big league arm. And whenever you have injuries, the holes and the weaknesses of your team magnify, and we're seeing those. Like, there's a lot wrong with the Astros. 9780, Joe is more straight line than Dusty was. Does that make the guys press?
Say that again?
He's more straight line than Dusty was. Does that make the players press?
We don't know that either, though, do we?
I think it's pretty easy to see that he's more straight line than Dusty. He might not be very straight line, but
he may not
more
be bringing players pudding, but I don't know that he's I don't think he's a hard-ass tough guy.
Well, that's not what he said, though. He said that he's more straight line than Dusty, which I think we would all agree on.
Oh, okay. Because Dusty was just that laid back.
I don't think he's like Girardi, though.
No, right. I was going to bring that up later, but that's exactly right. And I think that this guy's been in that dress. He's been in that clubhouse for 7 years and longer than that. He's been here since AJ. It's not like most of these guys don't know him and know just about everything about him and how he is, his personality and everything else.
This texture spoiled bad word fan base that barely existed before 2017. I think the Astros are gonna be fine. I think they're gonna figure it out. Lamont says, when is it the managerial's fault though? Which I think is a good question. Like, at what point do we get, like, we're saying that Espada is not to blame for all of it. I don't think Espada's I don't think a spot is Tommy Lasorda or Sparky Anderson just yet, but it's hard for me to point to him as the blame. Lamont's asking, when can you do that?
So that's what I was alluding to earlier when we started talking about if you start getting all these guys back from the injured list, and they're all the capable players that we knew them to be, including starting with the top three starters, and they're still underperforming, and you start doing things that just you're not pinch hitting at the right spot. And we don't know, again, because the tough part about all of this is we don't know how much is just him and how much he's hearing it, feeling it from above with the Crane Gang. But I would say that when you are back to close to full strength health-wise, and if he is doing things that you want to that we can now question about when he's pinch hitting for players, how long he's leaving pitchers in the game, where he's using his pitchers situationally, things like that, and then I think that's where you can start to evaluate him, and because I can't tell you, well, there might be if we start hearing things, rumblings in the locker room, or if Crane doesn't like you, obviously with Click, he doesn't like you. If he's not getting along with you, that's something we don't know. We can't put a date or a finger on it, but that would obviously play into it as well.
I mean, if Bregman's hitting 220 and hits 220 for the entire year, I can't really be like, well, Joe Espada is responsible for that. If Josh Hader has an ERA of 8 all year, I can't be like, well, Joe Espada is responsible for that. If Ryan Pressly has an 8 ERA all year, I can't be like, well, Joe Espada is responsible for that. Now, if Chaz McCormick hits 220, I'll be like, Joe, bring in some banana pudding. Bring in some banana pudding. Maybe it'll get him on fire. So, to me, it's more players playing well. Now, like manager putting the players in positions to succeed? Like, what does that look like in baseball? Batting order? Like,
it's batting order.
But, I mean, Bregman's always been a good cleanup hitter until this year. Like, it's too early to start having these conversations. 713-780-ESPN. It is not too early to have this conversation, though. Does Jose Abreu have a chance to become the worst free agent signing in the history of, not Astro history, of Houston pro sports history? Is Abreu the worst signing ever that we've seen in this city? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. There aren't many things that are more annoying to me than potholes. Not getting hits with runners in scoring position and potholes. Two of the most annoying things that I can think about. I know that you've done everything to fix the potholes that you have authority over. You're not going to go to a public road and start fixing those potholes, but maybe you have pothole at your house or your parking lot or one of your farm roads. I know that you've done everything to try to fix these things, and I know that nothing works. Well, finally, there's something you can do to change that for good. Mechanical concrete from Third Rock Renewable. Third Rock Renewable's patented technology, mechanical concrete, is changing the game, fixing these annoying potholes for good, and they're also going to cut your maintenance costs by 75% while lowering your carbon emissions. You save green while you go green. I know it sounds too good to be true, but it's not. It is true. Fix your parking lot, your road, your laydown yard, whatever you have a pothole on, Third Rock Renewables mechanical concrete will fix it. It's the only low-cost, industrial-strength, sustainable base that turns these end-of-life tires into an indestructible build product. Call 713-305-0507, 713-305-0507, and stop worrying about potholes. Visit Third Rock online as well at thirdrockrenewables.com.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What are the worst free agent signings in Houston sports history? And does Abreu have the chance to become the worst? 713-780-3776. Real quick before that, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jose, you're in the hive with the bees. What's going on, Jose?
Oh, hey, hello there. I have a question to ask. Well, it's Sooties. It's like, okay, I hear talks about Bregman getting traded. I hear a lot of people talking about it.
Where are you reading that?
Where is that coming from,
Jose?
Where are you
hearing that?
No, I'm just seeing people. I hear people keep talking about it. Like, I'm seeing people trade Bregman.
Like, they're angry. Like, people, like fans, like, they're angry with his production, and they're saying trade him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some people are saying that. Like, oh, he's off the block. I'm like, I'm not sure about that. But what do you say about that one, though?
I don't think you trade him right now. His value has never been worse. You don't want to trade commodities whenever they're tanking. You want to trade commodities whenever they're performing well. The tricky part about this is that whenever you're performing well, you're going to keep them because your goal is to be a playoff team. So that's fans being angry. Alex Bregman's not on the trade market, and he won't be unless the Astros are out of the race in July.
And keep in mind, even with all the other guys that have been through a similar situation coming up on free agency, the Astros have shown a track record and a pattern to just play it out, negotiate.
But they've never been out of the race.
No, right, but I still don't think they are.
Yeah, that's why I say if you're there in July. You have another one? Oh, you hung up. All right, yeah, Bregman, I know you're angry at Bregman. I get it. It's fine. It's fair. But you're not thinking about trading him unless you're out of it in July. All right, what are the worst free agent signings in Houston sports history? 713-780-ESPN. And does Abreu have a chance to become the worst free agent signing in the history of Houston sports?
Yeah, he does, for sure. It's sure heading down that path. The one that always sticks with me is Kelvin Cato, because he had a triple-double in a preseason game. He had a triple-double in a preseason game.
That was so funny.
And they signed him to a 7-year, $42 or $49 million deal. And the only thing that you could say that might have saved him being the worst of all time is he was part of a trade that got you Dwight Howard. Got you Tracy McGrady.
He was with Francis and Mobley.
And Mobley as part of that deal. Otherwise, Cato's got to be up there.
He was already on the roster, though, at the time of the triple-double, though?
It was an extension.
Yeah, he was part of the Pippen trade.
Okay.
Yeah. They made the Pippen trade, and as part of the Pippen trade, they got Cato. Cato had a triple-double in a preseason game where I think he had like 30.
But I guess not a free agent, though.
Yeah, that was more of an extension. I was kind of nitpicking a little bit.
He got you. But I was right there alongside you, because that was bad money.
It was bad money.
Bad money, for sure. Jose Abreu has the chance to be greater than any of them. Mm-hmm. Yes. Jose Abreu. Now, I don't think Jose Abreu is going to get the opportunity to break the record for the worst season in Major League Baseball history, because right now he's on pace for a minus 7.7 war. It's incredible. And if you look at the Pro Baseball Reference, one, it's a minus 10 war. So a minus 0.77 war would be the worst season in Major League Baseball history by 3.7. The previous high is 4. So Jose Abreu's on pace to set Major League Baseball history with the worst war ever. The previous high was a guy named Jim Levy in 1933. Like, that's the historic awfulness we're talking about when it comes to Jose Abreu, which GoFundMe's still up to help save the Astros from Jose Abreu.
How's it doing?
Not well. Well, I mean, he got 4 donations. That's not so bad, actually. But I think Jose Abreu can be the worst of all of them.
Yeah,
If
he played the full season and hit that projection, I think he would have to be the worst of all time. Because
I don't think he's going to hit that projection.
I don't think he will either. I don't think he'll be on the field long enough to get there. But I mean,
he's kind of close already, though.
But of these other, and that's my point, though. Like, I mean, these other names that we would bring up, and then we'll get into them, like, you know, Osweiler, Ed Reed, I think, are a couple of names that come up right now.
Yeah.
They were bad, but they weren't the worst of all time in a single season at their position. Or in Abreu's not even just at his position. He's just worst ever among offensive players. So, yeah, I think if Abreu did get there, you'd have to give him the quote-unquote crown of worst free agent signing in Houston sports history.
Commode is what they need to give him.
Yeah, the commode, yes.
Osweiler's definitely on this list. Yep. You gave him the big money, and then you had to trade a draft pick to get rid of his salary. So, like, that's up there. That if you were to trade Abreu, it's not going to happen. It's baseball, much different sport. It's never going to happen where they trade Jose Abreu. And you can't trade draft picks unless it's a compensation pick. You would have to attach an asset just to get rid of Jose Abreu and maybe pick up almost all of his salary. He's untradeable. That's the same thing with Brock Osweiler's contract. Brock Osweiler was so untradeable that you had to convince another team with a second-round pick, wasn't it?
Second-round pick
to take that contract. Think about that. Think about how valuable that is. Like, you just traded a second for Stephon Diggs. Think about how valuable a second-round pick is. You had to attach that next to Brock Osweiler's name just to get him off of your books. I think Brock's greater than Ed Reed. I think Brock Osweiler is the leader in the clubhouse. I think Abreu is going to move past that.
Ed Reed was closer to Abreu just because he was older in his career. You didn't know how many years he had left. So whatever they gave him, you were already concerned about it.
Yeah.
But overall, in terms of how much you gave up and then how little you got in return. You didn't give up nearly as much as you gave up over the 6 years for Osweiler.
Yeah.
Scottie Pippen doesn't – it sounds like you guys have Osweiler and Ed Reed 1-2.
He did not play Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen good. But he didn't play bad. He just blamed everybody else and pissed everybody else off.
A disappointment.
They made the playoffs. They lost to the Lakers.
They got knocked out in the first round.
It was probably it was a disappointment for sure. But then you also got out of that pretty easily, didn't you? Like, didn't they trade him for an asset?
Yeah, they just took a bunch of crap for him from Portland.
So, I mean, you got out of it easy, though. Like, it wasn't a name that you had to attach sweeteners with just to get rid of them.
No, you
got out of it easy.
Yeah, Portland really wanted him, so they gave you a bunch of crap, and I don't know if they even gave
him. Did they get anything of value that...
Pippen's bad,
Walt
but I don't
Williams,
think it's close.
Kelvin Cato.
I mean, those were rotation players, at least.
Yeah, there was... like I said, they were just guys to get off the books.
Pippen was bad. Pippen's not in the tier of Brock and
I put Pippen on the list, it's really more for what you hear. Obviously, Joel would know more about this than I would, but for more what you hear about him just being a bad guy in the locker room and as a teammate more so than his playing on the court.
Yeah, he wore out his welcome real quick with a lot of different assets. He wasn't I never had a problem. He was never a bad guy per se. But when you talk about, like, in the media, it was always somebody else's fault. He was always throwing a teammate under the bus. And then there's the no tip and Pippen part of it when guys took literally 35 to 50% or more less just so that he could get his $11 million, and then he was pretty bad.
Yeah, but, I mean, he did go broke. So he was probably smart to not be tipping, save a little bit of his money that he eventually lost anyways. I'm kidding. Someone said Woody Williams on the Twitch line, go Cougs. They signed him when he was 40. Like, I mean, I don't know what you expected of a 40-year-old starter.
It was like a two. I think it was like a two. Because that was a name I think it was a name that I had originally put on the list. Maybe I accidentally deleted it. But it's like 2 years, $15 million.
Is he coaching with the Cougs now?
He's on the staff.
Yeah.
And you got 1 year out of him, and it was a bad year.
Yeah, it wasn't a good year. But he was also 40. Like, what are you thinking?
No, it was during
Jeff Bagwell running the team then?
It was during that that time when where the Astros were kind of just past the World Series teams where they're still trying
to
clean.
I think it was the Carlos Lee, Miguel Tejada, Pudge Rodriguez era.
Right.
Terrible.
Miguel Tejada.
No.
No.
I think Kent left pretty – Kent wasn't here a whole lot of – like many years.
No.
But his last season here was 2004.
That was his last season?
Yeah, 2004.
And they went to deep into the play. It was the year they lost
seven
in game
7. That was the NLCS,
Oh, 4. No, they went to the game 7 of the ALCS that year. That was the year that Jeff Kent hit the home – yeah, my bad.
Game 5,
That was the year he hit the home run in game 5 and was walking across home plate and said, one more win, one more win, one more win, and then they lost the next two in St. Louis.
But that before that, didn't they beat the Braves to get to St. Louis?
That's was that the 18-inning one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That was the
Chris Burke.
Burke.
Yep. Tennessee Volunteer. Yep. We had him on the air once.
Yes, we did.
Good guy. 713-780-ESPN. What are the worst free agent signings in sports, and is Jose Abreu going to shatter them all? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. We're talking about all of these awful signings in sports, and it makes me want to have some Gentle Ben. Bourbon. Talking about all of them, I might have one for each one. I might have the bourbon for Abreu. I might have the vodka for Osweiler. I might have the gin for Ed Reed. And I might have the whiskey for Scottie Pippen. All of them. They're all good. Gentle Ben's fantastic. Gentle Ben uses their innovative, revolutionary technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits you will ever taste. Smooth, clean, eliminates the burn. Don't labor through your drink. Enjoy it. Savor it. And you can do that with Gentle Ben. You'll love what's not in it, including gluten. All these other spirits want to brag that their stuff doesn't have gluten in it. Gentle Ben doesn't brag about it because all spirits are naturally gluten-free. Stop by the Gentle Ben kiosk just to the left of the Crawford boxes. Pick up some Gentle Ben on the way to your seats when you're going to the Astros game. You might need a little bit more this year. Head to the Gentle Ben tasting room. Stop at your favorite liquor store, restaurant. Pick up some there. Or just stop by Total Wine Specs. Many of the local liquor stores have bottles as well. And ask for it next time you're at your favorite bar or restaurant. Also, just head to GentleBen.com. Head to the GentleBen.com. Learn their incredible story, the fantastic legacy, but you can also order online. Go to GentleBen.com, order online, get that fantastic stuff in your house now. Gentle Ben, highest craft, softest sip.
You found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
One of the worst free agent signings in Houston sports history. Dwight Howard, that was a trade. Yep. Russell Westbrook, also a trade. Brent Price was a draft pick.
No. Brent Price, Brent Price might have been a free agent signing. Brent Price, they signed from Washington.
I'm thinking of, for some reason, I was thinking of Scott Drew. I got them confused. That was Bryce Drew. They brought them together, right? Weren't they on the same team? I think the year that they signed Brent Price was the year that they drafted Drew. They battled it out for the point guard spot.
That was the Mirsad Turkson, Bryce Drew, Michael Dickerson.
Yeah, that's right. They passed up on Rashard Lewis.
Yep.
Rashard Lewis was begging to go to Houston.
And there's a story why they didn't.
Went to the second round. Why?
Mom and dad.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can believe it. That's too bad, because he was way better than all three of those other guys. Matt Maloney was the name that got brought up, but this would fit extension, not free agent signing. But that was bad money.
Yep. Started all 82, and then they turned it into a big deal.
What was worst, Maloney or Cato?
Cato was way more money.
But which was the worst signing?
Maloney could still play. Cato couldn't play dead because he didn't care.
Okay. All right. 713-780
ESPN. Yeah, but that triple-double, though.
In preseason.
Lamont says, what was the Astros record when Fred Fowler and the Chronicle put the tombstone on the front page and what part of the season was? So I think it was 15, that was 45, was it June yet?
It was either Memorial Day or June 1, yeah. It was 15-30, though.
Okay. I'm surprised it was that early in the year.
Yeah, it was first half of the year still.
45 games in the year?
It was still first half of the year.
This team reminds me a lot of that team. Because that was the 04 team, right? Or was the 05 team that won the World Series?
No, it was 04.
Was it 04? 04 was the first year of Clemens, Pettit.
Yep. And you didn't have Beltran yet, but you Jeff
traded
Kent.
For him.
And you had Bagwell and Berkman and Oswalt. You had a lot of talent.
It was your last decent year of Bagwell.
Yeah,
Wade Miller was on that
team,
too.
Wags your closer?
I think so.
No, I don't think so. I think it was Lidge.
No, you're right. It was Lidge. Lidge was the closer.
But they also had Dotel. They had Dotel, too. So they still had a good back end of the pen. 713-780-ESPN. Okay. We're not going to read text like this, 5010. The worst Houston signing was probably Jake Asman on the wheelhouse. Good thing that didn't last long either. We're not going to read that crap, 5010. We're not reading that. It's Bush League. It's below the belt. We're not reading that. 713-780-3776.
J-A-K-E.
Someone said Carlos Lee.
That was pretty bad.
I don't think so. I think Carlos Lee didn't live up to that contract. But it's become such a phenomenon that it is now turned like that whole narrative that Carlos Lee was
so
a bad
long,
player.
There was a no trade.
Yeah, but he was fine with the Astros. Like, look at his numbers. He was here from 07 through the first part of 2012. The first year here, he hit .303 with an .882 OPS, 32 homers, and 119 RBIs. The next year, .314 average, .937 OPS, 28 homers, 100 RBIs. The next year, 09, .300 average, .831 OPS, 26 homers, 102 RBIs. 2010, this is where he started to fall off a bit. .246, .708, but still 24 homers, 89 RBIs. And then his final full season with the Astros, .275, .788 OPS, 18 homers, 94 ribbies. That's not bad. Like, if we got this from Jose Abreu, we'd be throwing a parade.
It's true.
I think it was more so because obviously $100 million contracts meant more in 2007 than
it was
than
because
now.
He was your Carlos Beltran replacement and he wasn't as good as Carlos Beltran.
Well, it was $100 million during a time
for like
where
6 years
where you could see that the Astros were on the decline and you knew that $100 million, it wasn't so much that he was bad, but the $100 million was essentially wasted on a bad roster.
It wasn't going to change the team outcome.
Right.
Well, I think he made the playoffs once or twice.
No.
I don't think so.
They didn't.
He was symbolic of that era. There's no doubt that you're right.
They went from they made the World Series in 2005. They didn't make the playoffs again until 2015.
I thought they like were in the hunt though.
They were in the hunt. Yes, like the 2006 and I believe 2007 also. They were in the hunt, but they went.
We weren't here yet in 06. 07, he lost 89 games. 08 was the year that they finished 86-75. I think that was the year they were in the hunt, but then they just didn't.
Yeah, they
make
didn't
it
make
late.
The playoffs with him though.
09, they lost 88 games. 2010, they lost 86 games. 11, they lost 106 games. So yeah, you're right. Definitely more symbolic of that era than him being bad, though. Like, he was actually pretty good.
Yeah, first 3 years of being an Astro, he was fine. It wasn't necessarily his play on the field. It was the idea of a $100 million contract in a time where that meant more, in a time when the roster wasn't ready to compete.
If they, if Jose Abreu had Carlos Lee numbers, we would be over the moon.
Oh, of course.
We would be over the moon. 5010, I can't remember his name, but that's Bastic dude that we got from the Brewers. Oh, he's thinking Carlos Gomez, but that was a trade.
That was a trade. That gave them Josh Hader.
And it gave you Mike Fiers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gave them Hader and the outfielder that's with the Dodgers now. That was with the Blue Jays.
Oh, Teoscar? No, Teoscar Hernandez. He wasn't in that trade.
I think he was.
No, he wasn't. Teoscar Hernandez was traded to the Blue Jays for Francisco Liriano.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
he
right.
wasn't in that
But
trade.
There was someone else besides Hader that was in that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody. One was like Brett Nelson. He was a center fielder. He made the bigs, but he wasn't very good. I don't think anybody else made the bigs in that trade. Texture Bo says Woody Williams again. I'm surprised Woody's getting so much hate. Like, we're talking Brock Osweiler, who you used a second-round pick to trade. You're talking about Jose Abreu, who's going to be the, if he plays, the worst player in Major League Baseball history. No one else is in those conversations, I think.
I'm surprised this name hasn't come up. I have it in the Google Doc, but Kaz Matsui.
Someone texted that.
Oh, someone talked about that. The fissures. Okay, Kaz Matsui was.
You remember his fissures?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to say the first part of that.
The,
yes,
anal fissures.
Okay,
yes.
Joel did. Okay.
Yes. Say it. It's what it was.
Yeah.
And he was bad beyond the embarrassment of that funny headline. He was a bad offensive player on top of it.
He was also supposed to be like the next guy at second.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Replacing Biggio. Yeah.
And he just wasn't. Okay, you're going to have to explain this one to me. Technically a free agent signing, Tony Boselli. How is that a free agent signing?
He wasn't a free agent signing.
He was in the
expansion draft.
So I don't understand. He says technically a free agent signing.
He's not at all.
I don't. Like, did they extend his contract when they drafted him?
Even then, it wouldn't be a free agent signing.
You acquired him in the draft.
Because he never played, right?
Yeah, I don't think.
And he never played. Yeah.
But you could still sign a guy and he never played. We wish Jose Abreu never played. He's got a minus. He's on pace for a minus 7.7 WAR. An average guy would have zero. 1.711 Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, he was on my list as well.
He wasn't awful. He wasn't what everybody expected to be, which is Linsanity. But he wasn't awful. He just wasn't. The other thing that you got to keep in mind is that he was. They made him out to be the signature player on that team that year, and then right before the regular season started, they traded for Harden, and then. He just faded.
Jeremy Lin, I had a take on Jeremy Lin that might be one of the greatest takes I've ever had. I said whenever they signed him, he was going to be out of the NBA in 5 years, and he was out of the NBA in 5 years.
Acknowledge
me! I guess he was 6 years, but I was close enough. It's close enough. That's one of my best takes ever, because this was in the – they signed him. Everybody's super excited. Lin Sanity's coming to the Rockets, and I'm sitting there. He's going to be out of the league in 5 years, and he was basically out of the league in 5 years.
Yeah,
one of the greatest takes I've ever had.
Softy McSoft, too.
Was he?
Oh, boy.
Mm-mm. It's too bad.
Yeah, he couldn't take a foul not being called in practice without losing his emotions. And
really?
Oh, he was.
That's soft.
Yeah.
Also, signing Ed Reed was bad, but not re-signing Glover Quinn because of it made it even worse. That's a good point. Like, the collateral damage of also signing him. Omar Oshik says 80-74. That was the same offseason. They signed both of them.
Omar Oshik was productive here for a
couple
of years.
Oshik was good. I liked Oshik.
Yeah, he would make the list.
He would make the list. But that was the same offseason, and Morey signed both of them to poison pills deals.
Yep.
Both of them.
Do you remember Domingo Santana?
He was a reliever. No, he was an outfielder.
Outfielder.
Yeah.
So the full trade was Gomez and Fires for Brett Phillips, Josh Hader. Was that the Brett Phillips that played in the league for quite a while?
Yeah, he was like a backup outfielder.
Tampa and stuff?
Yep.
Brett Phillips, Josh Hader, Domingo Santana, and right-handed pitcher Adrian Houser.
I think Houser actually had a cup of coffee.
Yeah, Houser's had a little bit of a run in the league.
I think Santana also had a cup of coffee in the bigs, but didn't do much. Didn't do a whole lot.
I think
lot.
That's right.
Yeah. Somebody said Josh Hader. What's his projected WAR this season? I'd have to look that up. I haven't done the math on his WAR, but it ain't good. It ain't good.
You better hope he straightens it out.
Yeah, I believe he will.
You've got that bad boy for a while.
Yeah, I think he'll straighten it out. His stuff still is good. It's not a lack of, like, stuff. It's just command, not getting the results he wants. Let's take one call. Chuck, you're in the hive of the bees. What's going on, Chuck?
What's going on, Joel?
Chuckster.
Long time no hear.
Been a while.
How's it going, Mr. Jeremy and Brian? I just wanted to tell everybody, man, hey, just relax. We're missing five starting pitchers. We're going to be fine. It's going to be all right. And it's not Joe. It's not his fault. I can name 10 games last year that Dusty cost us just on his lineup. That's where Jeremy Branham got famous. Dusty lineup.
That's where
Every
I got
day,
famous.
It was screwed up. So, man, all these Dusty apologists, forget about it. We're going to be fine. Everybody needs to relax. And that's all I got to say. I don't want to start drinking again. Thanks.
Good to hear from you, Chuck.
But if you do, I recommend Gentle Ben.
Crack him.
I love the. Not
what
that
did
I agree
with
the whole lot.
With?
I don't. Bearden, I thought. Bearden?
I mean, it sounded like Bearden.
I think
apparently you
Bearden.
Got famous off of Dusty's lineups.
Some people do see me. I'm kind of a big deal. I'll be like, hey, I'm Jeremy Branham. Like, you're the Dusty lineup guy. I'm like, yeah, that's me. Kind of a big deal.
Career-making move.
He got me Bearden.
Someone said John Wall. That was a trade.
Yeah, John Wall is a trade. Someone said Amon Green. That was the one I was looking for.
Yeah, that was a bad one. That was bad.
No, they traded him too. They traded for him too.
Did they? I don't remember.
From Seattle.
I don't remember.
Amon Green? You know,
Amon Green they traded for.
Dre said Jox Reeves. I don't remember that one either.
He was a corner. He wasn't good.
They signed for a big deal?
No. Well, part of these, when you look back at some of these, it doesn't look bad or look like a big deal because the contracts were so much smaller the further and further you go back. But, no, it wasn't a massive deal.
The angst that he said Dusty's name with, Dusty. He's not a big fan of Dusty, I can tell. Did you hear the angst in his voice when he said Dusty?
Chuck was something happened to Chuck, but Chuck used to call the station every day.
So it sounds like it might have come from drinking.
It might have, yes.
If he said he hadn't called the show in a while, and he said that he didn't want to go back to drinking, I can put two and two together. Maybe he had a little bit of liquid courage to call up the radio station.
Well, it's good to have Chuck back.
Yeah, great to have you back, Chuck. And if you're going to start drinking again, you know where to go. All right, what's our car wreck of the day? I shouldn't have said that. 713-780-ESPN. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, Amon Green was signed by the Texans. Doc Linville is the guy that I want to tell you about because Doc Linville is the guy that can be a game changer for you because of the fact he can get your hair back. I mean, guys are dealing with hair loss every single day, and they're looking for a rug to cover it up. They're looking for sprays and creams and foams that mask the problem, when really they should just go and talk to Doc Linville about the Neograph because it gets it done once and for all. Doc explained to me on my consultation that the hair on the sides and the back of your head are never going anywhere, no matter how much you lose hair in other places. He takes some of that hair, repurposes it where you need it, and the next thing you know, you've got hair growing again. It's getting longer and stronger. You're getting more coverage area, a better overall appearance. You get more confidence back by seeing that. 6 to 9 months, when you see the full results, you're absolutely excited like I was, and you are so glad you did the deal. That's why I'm telling you about it, because you can get that consultation like I had for absolutely free because you listened to us on ESPN 97.5. It used to be that it would cost $150, and it still is for anybody that just comes in off the street. But if you go to 975hair.com to set up your appointment, that means you're listening to us. You go and do that. You get the consultation for free. No signing out on the dotted line. No money out of pocket. Just you asking questions, getting answers, and seeing if the Neograph procedure is right for you, too. I say you, too, because I did it. I couldn't be happier with it. Phenomenal results that are going to be with me for the rest of my life. The fact is that 95 to 99% of the follicles that he moves are going to stay and grow and be with you for the long haul. They ain't going anywhere. And that is a huge relief all in itself. But when you know that you see them from day one, but 6 to 9 months later you see the true results, you are going to be absolutely ecstatic. I could not tell you anything more than just go see Doc Linville and see if it's right for you, because I believe in him that much. He's the best in the business. Go see my good friend Doc Linville, 975hair.com.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
What are we nominating for car wreck of the day? Not what's coming up next, of course. Soccer Matters coming up after us. And Glenn will be talking El Clasico. Barcelona, Real Madrid. Dynamo losing to Austin FC. And Lionel Messi scoring a bunch of goals, which...
Look at you.
It's Lionel Messi.
It's kind of what he does.
It's kind of what he does. We talk on the microphone. Lionel Messi scores a bunch of goals. Right? What do you mean, look at me?
Fantastic that you got all that soccer.
How many people on this station, if you gave them the read Barcelona versus Real Madrid, would pronounce Real real?
Lance Dell.
They would get it right.
They'd get it right.
I think John would get it right. John's cultured enough. I think John would get it right.
John likes soccer.
Does he? John would get Real Madrid right.
For sure. He would get it right.
For sure.
He should.
Would Pauly?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Would Joe?
No, I don't think so. I think we're talking about one show.
Well, that show.
Yeah.
Although Sean might wisen them up.
Not until they had already said it incorrectly.
Probably afterwards. That's a good point. All right. What's our car wreck of the day? What are you nominating for car wreck of the day? 713-780-3770. All of them?
Mine is just all-encompassing because I know there's sunny individuals you could name. It's just the Astros weekend in D.C.
I mean, Ryan Pressly certainly is
you could go up and down the list. Hader, Pressly. I mean, Abreu. The Astros weekend at, in D.C. was a complete and utter disaster, and that makes it was a car wreck, too.
Yeah, just drop, especially the final two. The ninth inning especially.
You get so much momentum from a Verlander start on Friday night, only to just crap the bed the entire weekend. It was awful.
Yeah, that was a rough look. Rough look for the Houston Astros. Bregman was especially bad, 0-for-11. Jose Abreu was especially bad, the average slipping to under .70. The Abreu pop fly, too, drove me nuts. Drove me nuts. Foul ball, where you just, like, what do you, like, catch the
ball.
Went
right over his head.
Catch the ball.
Yeah.
Catch the ball. Go catch the ball.
And
be
he had
an athlete.
Plenty of time to get underneath it. It wasn't like the one that he actually made. Was it Friday night over the shoulder when he did the basket catch down the line?
I don't think he caught it. I think he alligator armed and it fell.
I thought he got one during the series.
You might be right. I don't remember that, though. 0754 Joe George for car wreck of the year? That's hot.
This take today we agreed with.
I didn't necessarily agree with it. I just don't think it's
a good chance it happens.
I don't think it's a good chance.
Or there's a chance.
I think there's a chance. I don't think it's as bad as people were letting on. I want to nominate the doom and gloom takes on the Astros, though. Like, we're talking about trading Josh Hader, Ryan Presley, Kyle Tucker, Framber Valdez, Alex Bregman on April 22nd. We're talking about firing the manager on April 22nd. We're talking about all of these doom and gloom things on April 22nd. And yes, I know you're 9 games under .500 for the first time in the golden era and for the first time since 2016. You're 5 games back. You were 5 games back on July 1st. Let's stop with the sky is falling on April 22nd. If we want to have this conversation on June 22nd, because this is continuing, more than happy to have it. But let's let this thing settle a little bit.
What day is receipt day? You want to go right back to it and say July 1st? See where they are on July 1st?
Yeah, maybe a little late. Maybe June. Maybe
June 1st. I think June 1st is...
Give me 2 months into the season. You got all April, all of May. Let's talk after 2 months.
Okay.
Talk after 2 months. Like, the doom and gloom is wild to me. You're 5 games back.
And everybody needs to go, and then Espada should be fired, and all the other people just, they're already on a ledge.
And I don't think you're going to be any worse than you currently are. Like, this team's only going to get better. Do you have any car wrecks here, Brian?
I throw in the Miami Heat. They were down, 34 going into the fourth quarter against the Celtics? I know they were out without Jimmy Butler, but that was a pitiful
performance. Brian Scalabrini's questioned. Brian Scalabrini was all over Twitter because he called the timeout with 1:16 to go in the game. And then Tatum was still in there. And on the very next play out of the timeout, it was a cheap shot that undercut Tatum, took him down. And Scalabrini said, Spoelstra did it on purpose. He intentionally is trying to take Tatum out of the series.
Not a bad idea in a 7-game series. I'm here for it. It's going to do it for us. What's winning car wreck, by the way?
Astros.
Which part specifically?
Presley?
Just Astros. Astros or Presley?
I think it's the whole team.
All right, whole team. Congratulations, Astros. You're again our car wreck of the day. It's going to do it for us. Thanks to Brian for doing the hard work. He's blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Soccer Matters. The legend Glenn Davis up next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.